brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyar, America's right-wing, religious, fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm Doug McBurney, host of The Worldview, heard exclusively at KGOV.com, sitting in again for Friday this week.
Friday, Doug. From now on, you want to do Fridays?
I like Fridays better.
Fridays are good.
It always felt like Friday anyway.
That's
when
right.
I was here.
Fridays will be fun.
So Friday, when everybody can tune in and they're relaxing after the long work week.
You call in and talk to Doug. Yeah. McBurney on Bob Inyar Live at 303-88... Oh, I'll give the local number just in case we will save some money.
We may, yeah.
303-463-7789 or 1-800-8-ENYART.
That's 1-800-8-ENYART.
All right.
So, Bob.
Yeah.
I roll into the studio, and of course, there's only one question on my mind.
What?
When is your reconfirmation, and am I invited?
Reconfirmation. I'm becoming a Catholic.
Yes. Well, I'm
converting back.
Yes.
The Pope got my attention, finally.
Well, I heard the debate over the past couple
years.
Days.
Yeah, I debated a Catholic in studio, Jeb Barry, a Denver Catholic activist, and it was a fun debate. In fact, Doug, we packaged up those two shows on one tape in our Bob Inyar Live products.
Yeah.
And it's Bob Debates a Catholic.
You go at all those Catholic doctrinal issues.
Yeah, Mary and the Pope.
Yeah.
Can you know that you're saved? And it was a lot of fun. And Peter, the first Pope, being married. And
oh, did you get him with that?
And being wrong on doctrinal issues. And having to be corrected by Paul on the gospel.
Yeah.
It was sort of fun.
It was neat.
It was a good time.
We got an email on it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
This is from Brian and Don, friends from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church says that we need a perfect interpreter. Otherwise, how can we know that our interpretation of the Bible is correct? But Catholics differ over interpretations of what the perfect interpreter, the Pope, actually teaches.
Oh, what a good point. That's a great point. And Jeb kept saying, well, if we disagree on what the Bible teaches, how do we know who's right?
Yeah.
And I basically, Jeb was a real nice guy. I said, Jeb, take a sedative. We'll find out when we get to heaven. We're not going to have perfect knowledge on earth. And half of the Catholics are pro-death penalty. The other half are against the death penalty.
Right.
And they say, well, Pope so-and-so said pro-death penalty, and Pope no-and-no said no death penalty. And so, right, good. What a great email from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Exposing that whole perfect interpreter thing.
And I've got an email here. I don't know. This is from Indiana. And here's a pithy little brief email. So the Catholic Church doesn't have splits, said Jeb Barry on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bob, how about when the Lutherans left? How about the entire Protestant movement? I seem to remember the Anglican Church split from Rome.
Yeah.
And how about the Eastern Orthodox?
The Eastern Orthodox.
See, I was slipping.
Yeah, well.
We should have had our audience calling in.
Well.
The sharpest audience.
But you didn't want to club the guy over the head and scare him off.
No, Jeb was a really nice guy, and I enjoyed doing the show.
Yeah, he was nice. He left a flyer here, I saw, about why we need Catholic radio in Denver.
That's right.
Yeah, and I didn't really get a chance to read that, but I'll take a look at it later.
All right.
So. Anyway,
so, hey,
that was
Doug,
a fun time.
How about the, just personal update, the replacement for the nose ring girl
yes,
at
the
your
nose,
work?
The nose ring girl
at
has
your day
faded,
job?
Faded into just a memory.
Right.
And she's been replaced by the snake man.
The snake man.
Yeah. Yeah, the snake man.
The guy who came to work that first day and said to you, so I'm into snakes. And Doug's like, so how's that working out for you?
Yeah, he's into snakes.
Sorry about that whole snake thing in Genesis. That was a great line.
Yeah, that was I got his attention.
Yeah.
Just as my mic went dead, I got his attention. But apparently everything's still working and the mic just sounds dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's your headsets.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the snake man and I haven't hardly said two words to each other. I've been training him. There's a lot of work going on, you know. It's not.
You're busy.
Yeah, we're busy.
It's your day job.
But the other day, I forget how it came up, but the subject of prairie dogs came up.
Right.
And I made, as I will do from time to time, I made a joke about killing prairie dogs.
Right.
And, well, that...
Well, that's to separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff. The sheep from the goat.
Exactly.
Somebody objects to a prairie dog joke, you know they're going to hell. You might as well just cut right to the chase. What do you think about those dead prairie dogs?
Gas them.
The guy doesn't laugh? You're going to hell, buddy. You don't have to ask, are you a Christian?
No.
Do you understand salvation by grace? Just make fun of dead prairie dogs and you find out right off the bat.
When you defend prairie dogs against humanity, you're you're in trouble.
You're going to
And
hell.
He came whipping out of the back room, and he gave a speech. I mean, and a speech that was peppered with biological terminology that I didn't even understand, about how if the black-tailed prairie dog of the high plains were to perish from the face of the earth, do you know that 14 related genuses or specii or whatever, he knew a lot of terminology. He said, you know that they would become extinct as well? Did you know that?
How'd you respond to that?
I said, yeah, and then so 14 species disappear, including one of his favorite, which is the hibiscus nabiscus rattlesnake or something like that.
The Nabisco biscuits?
The Nabisco biscuit rattlesnake.
They eat prairie dogs.
Well, that's one of the reasons that he wants them to be protected.
So there's food for snakes?
So that his snakes will have food.
Well, on Art's Mountain, our friend Art Risley has a mountain.
Yeah, he's got a nice mountain.
We kill the snakes up there.
Yeah. Well, boy, I don't even want to get into killing snakes.
Friend cooked a rattlesnake.
No. Oh, no.
In a
frying
pan on the top of the stove.
He might break into
snakes. Snakes eat other animals, and so we eat snakes. Has he ever gone to a rattlesnake club?
Oh, he's a rattlesnake expert.
The rattlesnake downtown Denver, the restaurant.
The rattlesnake club.
Isn't that the name of it?
Well, I think he belongs to a rattlesnake club, but it doesn't involve killing and eating
What's the name of the place downtown Denver? Maybe I'm confusing it with the Buffalo Club.
Right? Well, Buffalo's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Better than snakes.
Okay, anyway, so snakes eat other animals.
Yeah.
I eat snakes, and they're good.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, they are.
Well, anyway.
It tastes like pork chips.
Anyways, he gives this passionate defense of all species non-human, is basically where he ended up.
Is he pro-choice?
He did. When I asked him the question, and I leveled it to him after I had just... Well, we debated speciology. He dodged it. Bottom line, he dodged it. Just like the question about Jesus.
Because he's so passionately defending all animal species. And so, well, how about abortion? Well, he dodged it.
Right. He said he doesn't think it should be used for birth control.
Who's he to impose his morality on other people?
Oh, I wish I'd have thought of that one. I could have nailed him there again.
What a jerk.
Yeah, well, you know.
Either it's murder and the abortionist should be executed, or people could do it for any reason they want to do it.
Sure. It's either right or wrong.
Yeah.
But I think he has a hazier view. You know, he's typical of a lot of youngsters who've grown up in suburban comfort, and now they want to reject everything that is Western civilization and claim that. He also had a very passionate defense of the Indians. The American Indians, and when I called them savages, and I didn't say it in a nasty way, I said, these are people who descended into savagery and ended up dwelling in caves and chasing buffalo around.
Virtually no civilization.
Yeah, no civilization.
No accomplishments, just survival.
But when I said civilization, he said, who are you to judge what's civilized and what's not?
Who is he to judge?
Who is he? And I said,
he's saying they're civilized.
Exactly. He thinks they're more civilized than we are.
Who is he to judge, a snake man?
And he's never even been out of the suburbs for crying out.
Throw a dead... Something at him.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl, called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. and always easy to understand and clear-thinking Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Welcome back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-888-8-ENYART. Notice how we changed that,
yeah,
the area code.
I was wondering if I was getting confused.
1-888-8-ENYART. It depends on what lines are available.
Oh, I see.
Our call screener's talking to people, and you know they reject some, accept some callers.
Good. Screen them out.
We've got one caller we'll get to in a moment on wants to talk about Catholics from South Bend. But
I wanted to ask you, but the reason I got into the debate with the snake boy. Snake man, I should say.
Snake man.
Snake boy.
Snake man.
He's got a ponytail and earrings. Can't we call him Snake boy?
But his earrings are in his ears, right?
His earrings are in his ears.
That's not bad.
I guess not.
Nowadays.
The best you can hope for.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, there's a story about a bush that they say, according to radiocarbon dating, this bush is a
news story?
A news story, yeah.
All right.
From Palm Springs. Palm Springs, California, from the AP, says this bush is estimated to be 11,000 years old, and it may be the oldest living thing on Earth.
All right.
And so I asserted that there's no way it could be more than 5,000 years old because no bush could have survived the flood.
That's right.
Which
that's
he said he point. Believes the flood is true.
He does.
And he believes that God created the universe.
A God.
That's what he said. Well, right. He actually said God. But I inferred from later that he meant a God.
A God. Some God.
He doesn't know who the God is.
Right, okay.
But he believes that it must have been some God.
Okay, so he has some synapses functioning.
Yeah, and right. he said, Doug, he said, you don't know the first thing about radiocarbon dating. He said, especially on something that's a measly 11,000 years, he said it could be accurate within a few hundred years.
He said a measly
11,000 years.
11,000, does that imply that he thinks it could go to millions of years?
Well, I didn't really
because a lot of public school educated people think carbon dating could date fossils that are millions of years old.
I seem to remember hearing that in school growing up.
That
bone was 40 million years old.
Because the teachers, we now know the public school teachers are about as ignorant as the students. Because those public school teachers went to public school, and they're teaching evolution just because it was assigned to them.
That's right.
And they have no idea what radiocarbon dating does or how it works or anything. Well, whatever. But here's evidence that the scientists know it's not quite all it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm.
It helps somewhat in dating things in the recent past, but historians have had for centuries big debates about the chronology of Egypt in the Egyptian dynasties, mm-hmm, and what centuries and in what order and what artifacts belong to what. And so when radiocarbon dating was discovered, look what we can do, right away it was thought, well, let's resolve all the historical debates in Egypt, and let's radiocarbon date this stuff.
Right.
And so they did.
Should be really accurate.
And it didn't resolve any of the debates.
Oh.
Because it just didn't line up at all, and they just threw out the results and continued their historical debates about the different dynasties in Egypt and which centuries.
Right.
So, and not only that, think, for example, living mollusks have been dated to be many thousands of years old.
Hmm.
And sometimes it just is pretty wild off.
Yeah. Now, isn't it something to do with measuring the decay of radioactive material in a...
Yeah, carbon-14. But it is much more accurate than, say, potassium argon or other radioactive dating methods, where you could take a rock from a volcano in Hawaii that erupted in 1801, and you find out it's 1.1 billion years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say, well, it's 200 years old. Well, it's 1.1 billion according to this radioactive dating.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's wildly wrong. And there are many examples of
that. All right. I'm taking notes for my next debate. But the funniest part was when he gave this impassioned, the snake man. We're talking about the snake boy.
Yeah.
The snake man. He gave an impassioned defense of Native Americans. Indians,
right?
Especially after I attacked them so brutally when I called them savages,
right?
And after he gave this long speech, which is obvious he's studied it and he's memorized parts of it, and he's given this speech before, and he's a real talker, I said, He said that they had lived in perfect harmony with nature for 70,000 years.
How about with one another?
Well, I started to get into that, but he made a good point that the Europeans did a pretty good job of slaughtering each other.
Sure, but to say they lived in perfect harmony.
I know, yeah.
And how about, was he talking about the American Indians who owned black slaves?
Didn't bring those up.
Indians? Because as soon as the Indians had a chance to own black slaves, they were Johnny on the spot.
But Bob, they had already been corrupted by the white man.
They brought their buffalo skins. And said, how many buffalo skins for one female slave?
Yeah. And
then they start bartering.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, anyway, okay. he gave the speech about how they had lived in harmony for 70,000 years.
With nature.
With nature. Okay. And I said, well, wouldn't you think out of that whole 70,000 years of harmoniously wandering around on the most fertile piece of land on the planet, that they would have at least thought about, like, the wheel? You think they'd have been able to conceive the wheel?
Inventing a wheel.
And he was stunned. I don't think he had ever made the connection.
That the entire Native American Indian culture of all their nationalities, that none of them, anywhere in North or South America, Central America,
no,
Aztecs, Incas, Navajos, it doesn't matter where you go.
That's right.
None of them came up with a wheel?
The wheel. Wouldn't you by accident notice a rock rolling down a hill and get a bright idea?
We could do that.
We could use that. And you know what? Because he couldn't come up with a logical argument, he had to say that, well, you know what? Wheels aren't all that great.
Wheels
or that
are evil.
He said, what good
wheels
would a wheel
really
have done?
Wheels are really evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he starts attacking the wheel.
Right.
What good would a wheel have done an Indian on the high plains in 1802?
How about the Greeks in 400 BC?
Yeah, right.
How about the Egyptians in 1500 BC?
Well, I told him, I said, well, we're living on the high plains in 2002, and I find that wheels come in handy.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure they would have, too.
Anyway, in American Indians are like every other people in the world. They hate God.
Yeah.
They're rebellious. They're going to hell. And they were cut off from much of the Judeo-Christian teaching and influence that Europe received. And so they were more uncivilized and a greater percentage of them went to hell.
Yeah.
And so the missionaries came over and Christianized many of them. And thanks to the missionaries, many descendants of American Indians are now in heaven.
Right. And thanks to social workers, many of them are in alcohol rehab.
That's right.
You know, but
that's right.
But anyway, the snake man he's a nature expert.
Right.
An expert on the universe, nature, and physiology, biology terms. So I stumped him with another good one, Bob, that I stole from you.
All right, and then we'll go to Catholics in South.
America. I said the 30-day month makes sense. You know, the 24-hour day, it makes sense. But why the 7-day week? How does that fit
why
in?
Why a 7-day week?
I stumped everyone in the office. None of them had ever even pondered the question before.
Right.
And I said, it's because of creation. It's right in the first chapter of Genesis.
Right. God created 6 days, rested the seventh.
They were stumped.
It was 1 week. That's why the whole world keeps 1 week.
That's right.
In remembrance of God's creation. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Jerry, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
And Doug, my two favorite politically incorrect guests.
Thank you.
Why, thanks, Jerry.
The only two that I ever seem to like.
All right.
I don't watch the show unless I know you're going to be on. So.
Yeah, that's right. Doug, you've been on Politically Incorrect. You even were on an edition of the show.
A live version.
A live version at a university.
Yeah, and since then I'm banned.
You are banned.
Yeah, I'm banished.
That was
fun.
You've
got to sell the tape of that one. I don't think I got to see that.
Well, there'd be a lot of bleeps.
Okay.
They were pretty rude. But anyway, let's not give that show any press here.
Just out of curiosity, what good did the wheels do for the Egyptians?
Well, God let
them into the Red Sea.
Well, God fixed their wagons and took the wheels off. And it led them to their demise all the quicker. That's a good point, Jerry. That's a very good point.
If they didn't have wheels, they never would have ended up in the Red Sea.
That could be. You know, the American Indians are not going to hell because they didn't have wheels.
That's true.
They're going to hell because they worship the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what race you are, you know.
And you know, people who either hate America or they hate European Christian civilization, they practically worship American Indians just because they're not Christian.
Exactly.
Because they're not white Europeans. That's it. That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
If they were American Indians, they'd hate themselves. And they like them because they worship animals and snakes instead of God.
Right.
So the snake man is looking for his blood brothers.
He's looking for a theology that fits with the morality he's constructed.
Right.
And he doesn't seem like an overly immoral guy. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
He's probably a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but
if you met him without a snake, you'd probably just get along fine with him.
Yeah, but he's going to hell. Anyway, Jerry.
Yes.
Are you still there? Are you with me?
Still here.
Sorry about that. We get going on sometimes.
I understand that. Hey, what I wanted to talk about quickly was last two nights with the, what was his name again?
Jeb Barry.
Jeb.
Roman Catholic. Jeb.
Okay. You had mentioned to him about the Regis College thing, and he was very much, oh, well, you know, the Catholic Church, if they had known that this was going on.
Right.
Or if there are any Catholics who were pro-choice, they'd, you know, do something about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How about Ted Kennedy? I don't think he's been excommunicated as far as I know.
Yeah, why hasn't he been excommunicated? Great point. But for that matter, Bill Clinton should be excommunicated by the Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
Right? So they're just as hypocritical.
That is true.
They're just...
Well, didn't they do something with him last year, though?
Well, he was disbarred, but not by the Baptists,
the
unfortunately.
Baptist.
He needs to be DPU'd.
He needs to be DPU'd.
Dispewed, maybe?
Pewed. Defrocked. He's not frocked. He needs to be excommunicated. But they've never done that, have they, Jerry?
I don't think they did.
No, they haven't. On Bob and Eric Live, we like the Southern Baptists because they're better than any other group.
Yeah.
What other Christian group is as strong as the Southern Baptists? But I tell you, when Coors and Budweiser started advertising in these homosexual magazines, we called for the Southern Baptists to boycott Coors and Budweiser. And you should have saw their revenue drop. Of course, I'm only kidding. Every time we talk about the Southern Baptists, I get emails and calls, letters, people angry. And I say, I like the Southern Baptists better than any other group. They're so right on compared to any other group practically. You know, there's a few that are pretty solid morally, Christian groups. Most of them are out to lunch. The Southern Baptists are real solid biblically and morally.
Yeah. You know, I like the Baptists.
A little legalistic, but overall, really a great group.
Mostly teetotalers, from what I understand, from what I've experienced.
Many, that's right.
Many, many teetotalers.
So the joke about boycotting Budweiser is just a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's a joke.
So what's happening out in Indiana, Jerry?
Well, we had an ice storm yesterday and kind of just got our power back today. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we're,
welcome back to civilization.
Yeah, thanks.
Who are you to judge what's civilized?
What did the American Indians do, Jerry, when there was an ice storm?
You know what, though? Half of Indiana didn't affect them at all.
No?
Just in northern Indiana, because they're all Amish.
They're all Amish. That's right. Hey, what did the American Indians do? What do we do in America today if there's a forest fire? What do?
We put it out.
We put it out. What did the American Indians do?
They fled.
They ran.
They prayed to the great spirit in the sky or whatever.
Yeah, or the fire god.
The sun, yeah, the fire god.
If you're in harmony with nature and a forest fire is killing tens of thousands of little crispy creatures.
Yeah, including your kids, maybe.
Put the fire out.
Yeah.
And so at least our culture, our civilization, we put the fire out.
But is that really being in harmony with nature? Wouldn't it be in harmony to just allow a certain amount of the tribe to be burned up?
It's in harmony with water.
Oh, yes. To be out of harmony with fire, but to be in harmony with water.
You need to balance the water and the fire.
You need to balance that harmony.
The yin and the yang.
See, the Indians miss so many basic, simple things.
Right. They just let the fire have its way.
But who are we to judge?
Why did they let the buffalo have their way? Why did they kill the buffalo?
And they ate.
If you can't kill a fire, don't kill a buffalo.
Well, it was okay because they propitiated with their God in some
way. Jerry, I want to know what you're going to say about Catholics.
Don't go beating up on the Catholics now, Jerry.
I won't, but I think I'm going to have to do it after the break.
Hey, you got your eye on the clock. I like that. This is Bob Enyart. We'll be back. 1-800-8-ENYART.
Bye, Denver.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Yeah, you must be them Enyart people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know... If you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect, yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against n***** too, right? Yeah, n***** Let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check that
box. It's Bob Inyart Live. I'm Doug McBurney sitting in another Friday night here on Bob Inyart Live on the Information Radio Network. The number to call if you choose to do so is 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 right here at Bob Inyart Live.
And Doug, I think we should take Jerry's call here.
Yeah, we definitely should.
Finally let Jerry get to his Catholic point.
Hey, Jerry!
Jerry, you're back on Bob Inyart Live.
Just a show opinion here.
Yeah.
Doug is better on Fridays.
Oh, better on Fridays.
Thursdays were great. But Fridays, what a way to begin the weekend.
Hey, I can unwind.
Yeah. Fridays are better.
Yeah.
Bob and Doug to begin the weekend.
Poor Denver, they only get the first half of Doug.
Oh,
right.
Those guys.
You know, you guys are definitely the best Bob and Doug that have been around.
All right.
What other Bob and Doug has even approached?
Did they do some this team? Years ago?
Wasn't there a Bob and Doug?
Bob and Doug, you know, in the
Mindless Adventure?
Yeah.
Bob and Doug's
like
Mindless
Adventure. No.
The McKenzie brothers.
It might have been no. That was there was a Doug involved there, but
there was
Bob?
A Dean and Jerry.
Hmm.
I don't know Bob and Doug.
Well, anyways, it's another point.
There was an Ozzie and Harriet.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jerry, your point on
the first
Catholics?
Part was, you know, obviously when he had mentioned that the Catholic Church would excommunicate any people who were pro choice or should or with the Regis College and get look into it.
Right.
And there's Ted Kennedy and any number of pro-abortion people. I know my wife had an aunt who, she wasn't religious at all, but couldn't stand the public schools in the area, so she sent her kids to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And she at the time was working for Planned Parenthood.
Oh.
She was actually going to Catholic classes, and they weren't all that thrilled with her, you know, working for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
But she had pointed out, and she pointed this out to my wife later when they were talking, that there were abortion doctors going to the same church, and they didn't say a word about it.
Right.
I would imagine because that they did some of the funding.
Yeah, and, you know, so, Regis College, that nursing professor, her name is Candace Schoenberger. And so we gave that to Jeb with all the information of a Planned Parenthood employee teaching at a Catholic college teaching nursing.
Wow.
So he's going to go to the Archdiocese.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Another point I had on the Catholic something up. My, you know, I was raised Catholic, went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, a year of Catholic college.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And the Catholic college I went to was probably the most immoral place I've ever been.
Which one was it?
It was Spring Hill College in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, and now you live right near Notre Dame.
Right.
Which is a pretty immoral Catholic school.
Oh, but it has nothing on Spring Hill.
No.
In fact, I heard before I went there, not knowing, that it was on some magazine's top 10 list of party schools.
No, that's always good.
Well, and, you know, I spent a couple of years in Notre Dame's library writing the plot and doing a lot of work. And the constant homosexual activist on campus in groups and newsletters and newspapers. And wasn't there a priest there, Jerry, who supported the homosexual group?
Yeah, there's a I think he's a homosexual himself.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
we have
a homosexual priest on campus.
We have some of his private communications here in
our
library.
Notre Dame group out.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jerry.
Well, the one other thing I was going to say was my grandma, when she died a few years ago.
Yeah.
At their funeral.
And oh, let me ask you real quick, Jerry. I said to Jeb that at Catholic funerals, they guarantee the people
that
the dead Catholic has gone to heaven.
That's right.
Jerry, was your grandmother's funeral at all like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What's really the thing is, and I want to ask your opinion on how I could have handled this. Because my mom likes, for some reason, she likes the Beatitudes, or, you know, you can read them.
All right.
But they got up and they were saying, and this priest had never met my grandma. She had Alzheimer's before this guy was.
Jerry, we're in a hurry here.
Yep. Quickly was, you know, he's up there and saying, well, she was such a peacemaker. Well, everybody knew my grandma wasn't a peacemaker.
Well.
All right.
I wanted to stand up and say, time out.
All right. But yeah, but that's not a doctrinal point. The doctrinal point, my mother listened to the show too, Doug, in New Jersey. And she said, every Catholic funeral I've gone to. Which is my experience too. The guarantee that the person's in heaven now.
Right.
And when you're alive, they say you can't know.
Right. They said welcome her or him into his presence now.
Right.
And if they are.
Thank you, Jerry.
So anyways, that's
that.
Another point.
All right. Appreciate that very much. I want to give out our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YERT, 1-800-836-9278.
You know what I noticed about the debate with the Catholic, Bob?
What?
Was that time after time he had to fall back on the position, well, the Protestants are a mess too.
Right.
And when you're debating, when your side of the debate, when you're forced to do that, to point out that other people aren't perfect, well, then you know you're in a losing end of the debate.
Yeah, like when some guy says to his wife, well, you know, the other guys, they beat their wives.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You just lost the debate.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, you're losing the debate when you start arguing that a wood structure, like a building, is equal to an earthen dwelling or a teepee made of animal skins that you drag across the high plains.
We're back to the snake man.
Yeah, the snake man. He was saying
that teepees are just as good as our homes.
When I made the point about the wheel, he was struggling to where to debate from, where to go next, and he started arguing that civilization. It's relative, and it's only, who are you to judge what's civilized? Who are you to say that a man who lives in a cave is less civilized than a man who lives in a condo?
Civilized is when you know enough to come in out of the rain.
Exactly.
We have a home here that we live in with my family, and when there's really bad weather outside, we're nice and warm inside.
Yeah.
And if it's bad weather for 2 months, which it never is in Colorado, but we'd still be perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. If their kid gets injured, American Indian growing up, what are they going to do? Go to the medicine man and pray to the eagle god and dance around the totem pole?
Right. Well, he wasn't going to set the bone.
What is that? So anyway, that's, it is savagery. And just like we've seen in Africa also with some of the most despicable, sexually immoral and violent practices, and we need to Christianize the whole world. We need to Christianize England because it's no longer Christian.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Europe and America, we're losing.
Well, you know, and another point I made, he defended also the Quetzalcoatl or whoever, one of these
the god down in Mexico.
There's a cheap knockoff imitation of the pyramids down there, right, to this guy. You've seen the one? Anyway, I had a picture of it, and he was looking at it, and he said how great it was. And I said, you know, that right up those steps at the top of that altar that these savage pagans sacrificed children and young girls?
Right.
And he said, oh, But don't you know how happy those people were to be sacrificed?
What a sick. Now that's where he crossed the line to being a freak.
And I said, wait
a
minute.
Jerk.
He said they were happy. They were going to meet their God.
Oh,
they were
good.
Gonna be poor. I said, you know what? To lie to someone about the eternal destiny of their soul, especially a little young person.
These kids were happy to die.
Well, that's what he thinks.
What a jerk. And how does he know? Yeah. What does he have, videotape of the event?
No, he read it at night school in junior
he's
college.
He's an idiot. Now he's gone from a snake man to an idiot defending the killing of children for your stupid pagan religion.
See what junior college will do. Just say no. And public school, too, by the way.
Jeffrey Dahmer would have been the president of the Aztec civilization.
Right, yeah.
If he lived back
then. But see, when you're afraid to make a statement, well, once and for all about where you stand on who Jesus Christ is, that's where the debate ended up.
All over the map.
You end up all over. Yeah, exactly. Right, you don't know where you're reaching, you're grabbing, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
And you know, he's making a fool
every
of
culture, you can't judge. So then why do they condemn our culture?
Yeah.
The hypocrite freaks.
The
gets
Christians
me angry. Every culture, they won't say, right. And I've seen it. I've talked to anthropologists on the show. They won't say that it's wrong for Native American culture to kill their children and to skin them alive, and for the high priest to wear the skin of the dead virgin as he addresses the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They won't say that is wrong, but they say Ronald Reagan is wrong.
Exactly.
How could Ronald Reagan be wrong if that's not wrong?
Yeah, how could anything really be
wrong?
What
hypocrites.
Interesting.
Gets me angry.
See, I like coming in here and I'm able to sharpen my sword I'm going to go back. This guy's a real talker too, Bob. I thought, how am I going to figure out a way to witness to this guy? But once I started the debate, I mean, the floodgates are open. This guy, he's asking questions. He's challenging me.
Good.
And so it should be a good time.
Yeah.
And I might even get the guy saved. You never know.
You're right.
You never know. Saving the snake man. Anyway, I got a lot of news stories, Bob.
All right.
Now, I just want your take on this. This is a story out of Beijing. I've listened to your show. I don't hear you say a lot of nice things about Beijing.
No.
So
you mean
in order,
Peking.
Peking, yeah, exactly. So in order to provide some balance, I just wanted to bounce this story off you. From Reuters yesterday, China executed a former truck driver yesterday for killing 14 Beijing women over the past 3 years.
Well, that's a good thing. We could say that good about China.
Yeah.
They killed this guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I just wanted to get China some good press.
Good press.
Reuters tells us in this story, death sentences in China are typically carried out with a bullet to the back of the head.
That's not painful, really.
Yeah.
So it's a bit too quick, but at least they do.
It's a bit weak-kneed. Well, listen to this.
It's a little bit better to softening them to death in a tub of Jergens lotion.
Well, China,
like we do,
starts sending over the lotion because the country's Supreme Court has asked provincial and city courts to introduce lethal injection by the end of 2001.
Oh, great.
So they're going to have lethal injection by the time the Olympics arrive.
Right. So no more old Sparky.
No more old Sparky.
Now it's old Rusty.
Yeah, old Rusty.
Just
by the way, the Xinhua Chinese news agency, they did not specify how this particular guy was executed.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet they chopped up his body parts for sale.
Ooh.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, he carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah, and you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline, long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931.
Bob's Monthly Bible Study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible. You can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-NYARD.
We're back. Bob and Yart live, 1-800-8-NYARD. And Doug, okay, so you got a lot of news. Doug,
I got a ton of news, but I don't want
to,
if you got
we saved
stuff.
It to the end of the show.
All right, listen to this. You appreciate irony, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's a story out of Birmingham, Alabama from the Associated Press. A judge has denied an Israeli woman, who's also an American citizen, denied her permission to take her 2.5-year-old daughter to live in Israel. Part of a
an
custody
American judge?
Hearing. An American judge in Birmingham, Alabama. Judge R.A. Ferguson. This is all part of a custody settlement with her husband. They're divorcing, unfortunately. As part of the divorce order, he barred mom from taking the girl to Israel, saying that the country was too dangerous. He cited day-to-day dangers of military and suicide bombings, and he told the mom if she tried to move out of the United States, she would lose custody of her daughter.
Now, it's a shame that he confused the terrorist statistics with a ruling on custody, because in the past year and a half, how many Israelis have died from traffic accidents versus terrorism? Terrorism, it's about 250.
Right.
Way more traffic accidents.
Sure.
And so America is more dangerous from drunk drivers or from murder or rapist or whatever crime you want to list compared to being in Israel and being killed by a terrorist.
Right.
So you put it in perspective. It's ridiculous. New York and L.A. were way more dangerous per capita for their murder rates.
Yeah.
Than in Israel today.
Yeah. Or even Springfield, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Do you remember this story? This was a huge story. A 12-year-old boy pled guilty today to charges.
And we're on in Springfield.
We're on in Springfield, Mass.
So this is a story today.
This is a story from today. The kid, you remember the story. 12-year-old stabs 11-year-old to death in front of a movie theater. It was
That's
front
right.
page.
That's right.
It was last year, 2001. Well, the kid has pled guilty. The defendant was committed to a juvenile detention center until he's at least 18. There was a plea bargain that came just before opening statements were to begin in the juvenile's trial. So Springfield, Mass. Looks pretty dangerous.
So he's 13 years old now. He goes in till at least till he's 18. He'll probably be out on his 18th birthday it's like other cases. And so he'll be out, and he will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have the rep. He'll have done it. He'll have murdered, and now he could go into any gang he wants.
Yeah.
He's cool. He's tough.
He's walking around free.
Right. It reminds me of Malcolm X's grandson, who killed his grandmother, committing arson, burned her to death in her own apartment, and they just did nothing to him. And he's 19 now. He's arrested for all kinds of crimes, and he's just a loser. And this kid's going to be a loser.
Yeah. So
he already is a loser.
He is a loser. And Springfield, Massachusetts looks dangerous. More dangerous than Israel because you got 12-year-olds stabbing 11-year-olds. But even more than that, more dangerous than that, is this judge. Whoever this judge is, and they don't name the judge in this particular case, the judge who's willing to make a deal with a murderer.
Right.
So that he can eventually walk free and mock justice and basically encourage other young people to have no respect for the law.
And too bad we didn't have the judge's name because we're on in Springfield. It's not a real big city. We could say Judge So-and-so is a creep.
Ooh, I found it. I found her name.
Oh, you got her name.
It's a girl. How did I know it'd be
a girl judge?
We'll just say Judge Rebecca.
Judge Rebecca?
Judge Becky.
Judge.
No, we'll give her name.
Judge
since
Becky.
We're on,
That's
since
good.
We're on in Springfield.
I hope Judge Becky has cramps for what she's done, because basically she's let a murderer go.
Yeah.
That's what she's done.
Mm.
But Judge Rebecca Crampton.
Yeah, Rebecca Crampton.
Ralph's great-great-granddaughter.
Okay, wait, Bob. Now that's
After your
that's
next story,
news.
I have a great
I've
story.
Got a shocker.
I got an Oliver North Bin Laden
Everybody
story.
In the audience, sit down, especially if you're driving.
All right.
Rosie O'Donnell, This is from CompuServe News.
Uh-oh. Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell.
I always get her confused with Paula Poundstone. Isn't she a heavy Paula Poundstone?
Yeah, she's quite a bit heavier than Paula, but it's very similar. They're similar in their lifestyle, except that all the drugs and alcohol have helped Paula stay trim.
Right, she's a Paula Tunstone, Sackstone.
Rosie Tunstone, Keystone. Anyway, Rosie is set to publish a memoir. Memoir, even.
We don't want to know, whatever.
A memoir. On April 23rd, it's coming out. This book, it's called Find Me. It's like, should have been called, How Could We Miss You? Anyway, it's called Find Me.
Avoid me at any cost.
Avoid me. Smell me coming. No. I'm coming around the corner. You can always tell Rosie's coming because there's the scent of a water buffalo in the air. Anyway, let's not just beat up on Rosie because that's not really. Anyway, in her new book, she is going to admit that she is gay.
Oh, she's finally admitting it.
And I don't mean happy.
If you don't mean happy.
No, no.
She's a lesbian.
She's a lesbian.
A female homo.
Yeah.
A FOMO.
A FOMO.
So if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, and it hangs out only with ducks, then it's a lesbian. Yeah.
So obviously this isn't shocking news to you. Rosie's coming out of the closet in her new memoir. But the New York Daily News reported this original story, and the reporter there says that the revelation about Rosie's homosexuality is not a big deal in the book. She's just very matter-of-fact about it, just kind of mentions it in passing. Oh, by the way, I'm a lesbian.
By the way, I was born this way, so don't blame me.
Oh, man.
All right, well, I've got one about Oliver North and Bin Laden.
All right.
And you know the story.
Oliver North!
Before Congress...
Yes.
Back in the 80s.
I remember when the Democrats were grilling him over a certain, some funds had been spent on some security devices for Mr. North's home.
Right, $60,000.
$60,000.
And Senator Al Gore was saying, don't you think it's a bit much to spend $60,000 on a security system for your home? And Oliver North said, no, sir, I don't.
Wow.
He said, what could possibly justify $60,000? And he said, well, a man named Osama bin Laden wants to kill me and my family.
Wow.
And Al Gore couldn't pronounce the name. Osama bin who? Oh, who are you talking about?
Man.
And he mocked Oliver North for this. And Oliver North said, I consider Osama bin Laden to be the most evil man in the world.
Wow.
And so he was asked, well, what would you do about Osama bin Laden? He said, if I were in charge, I would put together an assassination team and have him killed.
Oh, and I could, the Democrats just flipped, I'm
right,
sure.
Right, right.
Al Gore, all the color drained from Al Gore's face to hear something so right. vicious.
So even if he had never become the vice president, he still had his hand in the soft underbelly of America that exposed us to these terrorists for no reason that was necessary.
Yeah.
And I hate it when politicians, even when Donald Rumsfeld says, you know, if you're going to live in a free society, there's no way you could prevent things like 911.
No, that's just a defeatist mentality.
How about just simple defense principles, like arm pilots?
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, I could understand a layman or a housewife
thinking
maybe saying
that.
Something like that, but yeah. This is the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Come on.
Right. They couldn't have done it to Israel.
No.
So if they couldn't do 9/11 to Israel, then why could they do it to us? Because we're weaker in
well, because guys
intellectually.
Because guys like Al Gore, who were in control of the government, they just couldn't see what could justify spending all that money on a security system for your country.
Yeah, right. They right. And they had a jihad against guns.
Mm-hmm.
So if guns are the great Satan, then of course pilots can't have guns, even if it would save 3,000 people.
Yeah.
So anyway. Okay.
Well, when the guns become the bad guy.
Oh, but Doug, when I got this was emailed to me, this story.
Yeah.
And I emailed the guy back. He has an account at Hotmail.com.
Uh-huh.
And at the bottom of the email was an ad for some product. And it was a picture of a woman. It was a seductive picture in an ad.
Mm-hmm.
And it only showed maybe a third of her body, but what was there had no clothes on.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, pictures like that might be acceptable to some people, but they're not acceptable to us. So please do not email us again unless you can guarantee that there are no inappropriate ads or photos in your email.
I don't think you can guarantee that with Hotmail. In fact...
Well, then drop Hotmail.
All right. I'm doing it. I'm dropping Hotmail. Yeah. I have a Hotmail. I have a Hotmail account.
I didn't realize I'm that. I always get your Yahoo account.
I'm going to go with Yahoo because they haven't offended me yet.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm scrolling down. My son Zachary's 4 years old. He's sitting on my lap. I'm going through the email. And it was just totally inappropriate.
Now, you know that Hotmail is a Microsoft product.
I still don't like them.
Hotmail's a Microsoft product. And I've noticed this. I've got 5 different email accounts that I spread all over the world. My wife shops. She's got a couple different ones. There's only one account where we get porno junk mail. And that's Hotmail. Yeah, it's a Hotmail account.
Maybe Microsoft sells the email accounts to porn companies.
I'm pretty sure they do. So anyway, I'm through with Hotmail. I'll change that. I got to change that on the web, on the page there.
Oh, it's the first I noticed this, but I don't like it. It's garbage. All right.
Well, listen to this.
Yeah.
From Sydney, Australia. An Aboriginal leader has asked an Australian court to spear a police chief to death for putting out the Aboriginal tribe's sacred fire during a police investigation.
Now, that's not as good as China's move. China outmaneuvered these guys.
Now, the Aboriginal leaders, they don't actually have the authority to spear anybody to death. They're just suggesting it to the Australian court. This police officer apparently desecrated their fire ceremony during an investigation. And the Aboriginal leader says, he should be tried under white law and then handed over to us. Under our law, where he would be speared to death.
No.
Speared to death.
That's ridiculous.
But I don't think the Aborigines are going to get their way on that one.
Well, probably not. And that's...
He desecrated their sacred fire.
It's good that they won't get their way, because how bizarre this is, of course. But, you know, we were in New Zealand, and to go after Bill Clinton for being a rapist down there. And the natives in New Zealand, they went out to the airport to meet Bill Clinton. This was televised around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they dressed, they were virtually naked, older men, virtually naked, painted their whole bodies.
Body paint, oh man.
Dancing and you know, just shouting like savages, like
now,
you said earlier.
Bob, now that's very judgmental.
Absolute savages. And, you know, the president of New Zealand, who's a woman, she's clapping for them. Bill Clinton smiling from ear to ear. And I'm thinking, what kind of a multi-million dollar contract are these guys going to get from foreign investment for looking like wackos and dancing half naked in their underwear on an airstrip? This is doesn't anyone have the courage to say to them, you guys look like idiots. This is not going to get you anywhere. Your kids are going to be as poor and as unsuccessful as you are. Put some clothes on. Get dressed.
Nobody wants to impose their civilized morality on other people. It's just considered rude, Bob.
What a tragedy.
Just because people don't have shoes and they dress in animal skins, you think they're less civilized than you with your shirt?
And there's acceptance of all that, but utter criticism of anything conservative Christian. So it's just hypocrisy when they say you can't judge a culture. It's just, which culture is the snake man going to judge?
That's right.
That's what it comes down to.
Depends on whose snake is gored here.
Right.
Anyway.
That's it. Forget the nose ring girl.
Yeah.
She's history. That's right.
Well, it sure has been a good time sitting in on Friday night, Bob. I think I'll do it again next Friday if you'll allow me.
And people in the audience have wasted yet a perfectly good hour listening to the Car Guys on National Public Radio. Now, why'd you do that? Perfectly good hour wasted. Hey, thank you for joining Doug McBurney tonight. So, Doug, Friday nights.
Friday nights from here on out.
All right, that'll be good. And Nashville is coming up.
Nashville at the NRB.
Yeah, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. A couple weeks, I'll be there. We'll do a live show on Monday.
Sounds like fun.
In 2 weeks. And then on Tuesday, there'll be 4 women at the convention, and they're going to do a show, what they've learned from Bob Enyart Live, 4 Housewives.
Oh, man, sounds good.
This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.